Drew, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me back on again, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. The Avalanche had been off to a disappointing start, but you know, they're starting to creep up. They've won four in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. 33 points. They've jumped ahead of Winnipeg. They're not in the basement of the Central. They're now 3 points behind Nashville for fifth, which would be the wild card position. So they've got themselves right back in the hunt. Who have been the difference makers during this turnaround for the Avs?
Well, I think you got to start off in goal with Semyon Varlamov. He's come back and he's healthy now. He's confident again, and he's been playing absolutely out of his mind in the month of December. I think he's 6-1 in December so far. He's got a save percentage above .960. He's been absolutely lights out, and I think it kind of starts with him. But you know, you look around the rest of the lineup defensively. I think this team is playing a lot better. They're playing a bit of a better structured game so far, and they're not. No, yeah, they're still giving up a lot of shots on goal, but they're not giving up the quality shots that they were, I don't know, say about a month ago or whatnot. And then you look to the forward spots, and you look at that top line specifically with Matt Duchene, Nathan MacKinnon, and Gabriel Landeskog, and that line's become one of the better lines in the NHL this year, especially with Matt Duchene and the scoring streak he's on now. He was the player of the month in November, and he's continued that run here in December. I think he's up to 16 goals now. So it's kind of been an all-around improvement from the team overall. I mean, they've still got some struggles. They're still not doing great things on the power play. The penalty kill's still a little bit shaky here and there. But, you know, overall, it's been impressive to see kind of how they really turn this thing around and starting to kind of get this thing going in a positive direction. But it definitely starts off and go with Varlamov.
There were a lot of people, you know, upset at Patrick Roy. Some people calling, oh, my God, he's not the right coach for this team. Obviously, that was a little bit premature. But one of his veteran players – and he's always been historically a rather streaky player, but Jerome Iginla doesn't have a point in the month of December in his last 9 games, and really only has 1 point in his last 15 games. Is age finally catching up with the future Hall of Famer?
You know, it kind of seems that way. It's kind of been disappointing to watch Iginla this year. You know, he's always been a guy that gets off to a slow start, but it looked like there was a couple times there where he was going to start to get it going, but he just hasn't quite found a groove yet this year. And Patrick Waugh now demoted him down to the third line, and he's playing on a line now with John Mitchell and Alex Tanguay. And now Alex Tanguay is another guy that's really been a big time disappointment this year, a guy that's an older type player as well. But yeah, I mean, Iginla's really just kind of struggling right now. He looks like he's not quite the skater that he was even last year when he scores 29 points for this team, and he just it doesn't look like his all around game is there, and it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. But I think you'd have to say at this point in time that it is probably age that's catching up to him, and it's unfortunate because you know if you're the Avalanche, you're kind of stuck in the mud with this now because you know you've got him for you know another couple of years after this one, and he's already said that he doesn't want to waive his no trade clause to go anywhere else, and so the Avalanche are going to be stuck with his big salary now for the next year or two, and kind of see what happens with that. So hopefully he can kind of get things going here. But, you know, the ice time has been limited for him. I think he played about 12, 13 minutes in the game last night, playing on that third line there. So he's definitely been a disappointment this year.
Drew Spivak from ESPN in Denver joins us. Orders in Colorado tomorrow to take on the Avalanche. Nathan MacKinnon, Matt Duchene, of course, leading the way offensively, each with 28 points. Tyson Barry has a 19 on the back end, and there's all sorts of talk about what's up with Barry, the contract situation, what he's looking for, what he's worth, everything like that. Like, Francois Beauchemin's been a great free agent signing for the Avs, got 19 points so far on the back end, playing 24 minutes a night for them. Barry's playing 23. You know, Barry's a smaller guy. You know, he's very good as a passer on the power play. How is he 5-on-5?
5-on-5, you know, offensively, I think he's one of the better, you know, defensive or, you know, offensive defensemen in this league. Now, defensively, he's never going to be one of those guys you can count on to be a shutdown type defenseman, even probably a top two defenseman. But, you know, he does so many good things with the puck on his hand. He's able to move the puck out of the zone. He's a really good puck moving defenseman. He's a terrific skater. 5-on-5, he's been really good. And it's going to be something worth watching, kind of what happens with him, because he's going to be a restricted free agent after this season. And he's got the same agent as Ryan O'Reilly does, and everybody that's kind of followed that whole saga with Ryan O'Reilly and his agent and the Avalanche over the last couple of years know how that turned out. And it by all accounts, it sounds like Tyson Barry is going to get a really hefty payday, whether it's, you know, the $6 to $8 million that I know that's been rumored out there. I think that kind of remains to be seen. But the Avalanche are definitely going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him, because you got Tyson Berry, who's a restricted free agent. You got Nathan MacKinnon, who's going to be a restricted free agent after this year as well. And, you know, they got a lot of money that they got to distribute to these guys, and it's going to be interesting to kind of see how they do it. But I know the rumors have been out there that Tyson Berry could be a guy that the Avalanche could look to move if they don't get something worked out with him contract-wise. But I'd be very shocked if they didn't figure something out with him, because they can't afford to let another big-name guy walk away after what we had happen here with Paul Stastny and Ryan O'Reilly the last couple of years. But Tyson Berry's been one of those guys, after a slow start this year, he's really turned it on and become one of the better offensive defensemen in this league.
Well, Drew, you segmented me perfect into my next question. Now, have the Avalanche learned from their past negotiations? Berry has the exact same agent as Ryan O'Reilly, that, you know, their negotiation tactics, it always takes two. And clearly, you know, there has to be something on the Avs standpoint where they have to look and say, okay, we've got to find a way to keep our better young players.
Yeah, you hope that they have learned from it. I mean, the way the whole Ryan O'Reilly thing went down was just such a kind of a mess from day one, even from back when Calgary gave him the offer sheet a couple of years ago and the Avalanche were kind of forced to match it. But, you know, you'd like to think that they'll get something worked out with them. I know it kind of just depends on the player. You know, we saw with Eric Johnson, he was the guy that was going to be a free agent next year, and they worked out a deal with him and it made it so it was fair for both sides. But I think the interesting thing to watch with it is be, you know, whether the Avs want to go over that $6 million per year threshold, because that's kind of been the ceiling that they want to go to with guys like Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog is just a little bit below that. And now you've got two guys that are both, you know, legitimate stars in this league, and Berry and MacKinnon, that they both got to pay next year. But hopefully they can get it figured out and get an extension worked out with them. And, you know, I mean, if you kind of talk about a number, maybe look number-wise for Berry, I'd say probably somewhere maybe give him, I don't know, $5.5 million per year, I think would be kind of a fair number for both sides moving forward. So hopefully the Avalanche can get that locked down and not have to move him, because it would be a disaster, you know, here in Denver with this fan base if they lose another popular, really good player in this league. They can't afford to do it again.
We talked about the free agents. Like, Francois Beauchemin has been everything, I think, and maybe more than the Avs expected. But going back to the Ryan O'Reilly trade, the young players they got from Buffalo, so far not getting the return they wanted.
Yeah, not quite. I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, Beauchemin's been fantastic this year. He had two goals last night. I mean, one of them was kind of a fluky goal, but at the end of the day, he's still got five goals already this year, and he's playing really, really well in this back end. I think he played 27, 28 minutes last night, and he's been providing a lot for this Avalanche team. He's really been a pleasant surprise. But, you know, you talk about the guys that they got back from Buffalo in Nikita Zadorov and Mikhail Grigorenko. You know, they haven't quite lived up to, I think, maybe the expectation quite yet. Zadorov has been down in the AHL, and he's been doing some good things down there, but I think he's still another year or two away from being a really solid player in this league. And Grigorenko, you know, he's kind of been up and down this year. He's had moments where he's looked really good, and there were a couple times where Patrick Watts put him up on that top line with MacKinnon and Duchene, and he's performed pretty well. But when Gabriel Landeskog came back in the lineup, he got demoted off back down to that fourth line, and, you know, he's done some good things on the fourth line, but it's hard to really get, you know, any momentum going when you're only playing 8 or 9 minutes a night or whatnot. But, you know, Grigorenko's a guy that I think they're high on. They like his game so far, and, you know, it's just a matter of finding him some more ice time, kind of get him going a little bit more. But it's been a little bit of a disappointment with both those guys so far this year.
Well, you know, and that was a trade. They were when you trade the best player for two parts that you hope pan out, it rarely works. If you're trading Ryan O'Reilly, it needed to be straight across for a legit player, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, no question. And I think a lot of people were kind of hoping that Zadorov was going to step in and be that guy that they could put on the number two defensive pairing. And, you know, it was just kind of a struggle for him. I think the worry with it is that, you know, he's a guy that's more of an offensive-minded type guy to begin with. That's not necessarily something the Avalanche really need, especially when you want to put him on that second pairing with Tyson Berry. You know, it's been a struggle for him. And I know fans looked at the signing of Carl Soderberg coming over from Boston, and he was kind of the, I guess, de facto replacement for Ryan O'Reilly, even though he's, you know, not nearly the player that O'Reilly is. And Soderberg's been pretty good for this team this year, but it's hard to lose a guy like O'Reilly and replace that no matter what. It's really hard to win a trade. And it's, you know, one of those things with the Avalanche, like that this is almost a no-win type situation for him.
Always appreciate your time, Drew. Enjoy the game and a Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Have a good Christmas yourself.